Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In all our troubles and difficulties, we have clear direction before us in order to avoid anxiety and needless troubled cares in our minds. What we have before us will be the means of keeping out those distracting, anxious thoughts and worries. We have before us the prohibition of care. Be careful for nothing. And we also have the prescription of prayer. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we have in verse 7 the promise of the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm sure most of us desire peace in our minds and hearts, and the Word of God is very plain and clear in directing us how we may obtain that. And it is through Jesus Christ. We must be found in Christ in order to have this peace, the peace of God. First of all, we have the prohibition of care. We are commanded to be careful for nothing. Being free of anxiety is not just a nice thing that would be good to have, but it's a duty to not have, to be careful for nothing. This is being troubled in our minds with cares, having excessive concern. Anxiety is a torturous state of mind when we're constantly worrying about what may come next or something in regard to the future. When we are overly concerned about particular matters and duties that we have. Well, the Lord is not forbidding foresight and planning, even careful planning and arranging. That is not evil. We are to think about what our duty is and make plans accordingly. The Lord Jesus directed his disciples, of course, to make preparations for the Last Supper, and we're told that we should be like the ant and that we should consider her ways and be wise. That insect that provides for the summer and gathers food in the harvest. And perhaps we can only blame ourselves and our lack of preparation, our lack of planning when things go wrong or we have less time than we should in order to do things that are important. So planning is the part of wisdom, but being anxious is prohibited. We're not permitted, we're not allowed to be anxious. We should, on the other hand, not be uncaring in the way of being stoical and unfeeling. We should have compassion on others and to feel sad in regard to perhaps, for example, the loss of loved ones. That is permitted. We're to weep with those who weep. But we are not permitted to be full of anxious thoughts. Excessive concern, that is what is not allowed. To be so concerned about things in the future or things that are happening, so worried about these things that we act as if there were no loving God that was able to help us and in control of all things. Be careful for nothing. There is not one thing that we should be full of anxiety about. We're to bring all our concerns to the Lord. In one of Mr. Cartwright's sermons, Hugh Cartwright, late minister of Edinburgh. He says that the reason for our carefulness is not our circumstances, but that our mind is not set on God. We read, on the other hand, that God will keep those in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on Him because they trust in Him. You see, it's not our circumstances that cause us anxiety, but it is something in our own hearts and minds that is keeping us from peace, and that is our lack of submission to God, our lack of dependence upon God, and not being assured in our minds that God is in control of all things, that He is indeed working all things for the good of His people. So the Lord in His word gives us clear direction as to avoiding anxiety. He prescribes to us what is necessary for us to have peace. Another point in regard to this is that it is true. We are surrounded by troubles. We are often in circumstances that, without trusting in God, would indeed make us perplexed and full of anxiety. But God, in His mercy, knows this, and He knows also that we are liable to anxious thoughts. And God addresses us not by what we ought to be, but by what we are indeed. We are prone to anxious cares. And so God is speaking to us in the knowledge of that, that He knows our frailty. He knows what we're like, that we're prone to anxiety. So He gives us plain directions to help us in our concerns. And as the psalmist said, we should be asking ourselves, why are we cast down? Why are we full of vexing thoughts? Trust in God. He is the health of our countenance. So we go on in the second place to consider what God prescribes to us, and that is prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If we are anxious and full of worrying thoughts, it's not very likely that at the same time we're really praying to God. But by praying and trusting in God, we free ourselves of anxiety. And without trusting in God, we are like a ship without an anchor that is adrift on the ocean and is tossed about by every wave. But when the anchor of the soul goes to God in prayer, then that anxiety is dissolved. We are to make our requests known to God. The word requests is simply that which is asked for. What we ask for is to be presented to God in our prayers. We are to take our anxious thoughts and turn our anxious thoughts into prayers. Instead of being full in our minds of worrying thoughts, we should turn all those thoughts into petitions. Let your requests be made known unto God. And how do you do this? Well, the words before it give us the way in which we are to let our requests be made known unto God, and that is by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. This is how we are to let our requests be made known unto God, by prayer. Well, prayer expresses devotion to God. Prayer is the soul conversing with God. We're speaking to God. We are interacting, as it were, with God, and we are manifesting our reverence toward Him, and we are giving expression to our love to Him and our thankfulness to Him for His mercies. Prayer is not mere release and releasing the tension that our souls, our hearts, our minds feel. It's not a mere psychological release, but prayer is in obedience to the command of God. God commands us to pray because God has purposed wonderful things for his people. He has made promises, and the way in which these promises are fulfilled and enjoyed by us is by prayer. God will be inquired of to do these things for his people. And so when we pray, yes, it is a great relief to unburden our souls in the presence of God, but we are obeying his command to pray, to inquire of him, because he is the hearer of prayer. And this is the manner in which he fulfills his promises to us. We may not be sure what to pray for. We may be confused in our minds by all our worrying thoughts, but if there's a desire to pray, the Lord knows our hearts. He knows our desires. Romans chapter 8, verse 27, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He knows what we're asking for, our requests. He knows what those requests are, even before we form those desires into words. Because that's what real prayer is. It's desires of the heart for things agreeable to his will. And of course, the Word of God shows us what our needs are. And if we're exercised by his Spirit, he is teaching us and drawing our hearts to those things that we truly need. And that is telling us that real prayer is out of a sense of need. And there's no doubt that the Lord brings us into very difficult circumstances at times so that we'll feel our need more than ever before. We'll see that we are really indeed sinners in need of mercy. By all the trials we go through, we see how short we come, how unable we are to cope with the trying circumstances, and we see our unbelief, our impatience, our ingratitude, and we are thereby going to God for mercy, for forgiveness, and for strength and grace to help in time of need. And that is what the other word brings before us, supplication. It is at least showing us the perspective of a humble petitioner, one who is making supplication to God, who is entreating God, yes, begging God for mercy and help. We must acknowledge the sovereignty of God and our own unworthiness, that when God bestows blessings upon us, he is giving it to those who are unworthy, and he does it in his sovereign good pleasure for his name's sake. It's not because we deserve it. We must rather be like Jacob, who said, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." There must be a sense of need and a sense of unworthiness. We're to come to God. It doesn't say it here, but we know that in true prayer there is confession of sin, and there is trust in the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. Indeed, the latter part of verse 7 says, "God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And when we make our requests known unto God, there should be prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That is one part of prayer, to acknowledge the mercies of God. And it has been pointed out that our thoughts, our worries, our troubled thoughts, what are they doing? They are displacing thoughts of God. And one chief function of prayer is to have God in our thoughts. But all these anxious thoughts are driving away thoughts of God. We're to think about God. We're to pray to God. We're to be thankful to the Most High for what he has given us. In everything, give thanks, is what the Word of God tells us. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thanksgiving in our prayers affects how we pray. It Thanksgiving puts us in a better frame, in a right frame in prayer. When we're full of our thoughts of our needs and we're very burdened, we're going to the Lord with all our concerns, we should do so, but in all of our concerns, we're not necessarily thinking about all the blessings we have already received from God. And it's almost as if we're complaining to God and of God and even reproaching God for not supplying our need when we're bringing nothing but our needs to Him. We should be remembering that He has supplied our need, that He has promised to supply our need, and the very act of drawing near to God is a blessing in itself for which we should be thankful. So in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we're to let our requests be made known unto God. We're to show our thankfulness to God by recognizing His mercies, and even when we can't think of anything to be thankful for, there's always something to be thankful for. The very fact that we're on the ground of mercy, even the unconverted who can't say they have Christ, that they cannot say that they're converted and that they're in Christ and they're born again, they can be thankful, they should be thankful to God that they are still outside of hell, that they're on the ground of mercy, that God is offering salvation to them. And this may be a means, by the blessing of God, of delivering us from our endless anxiety and bringing us to a better frame of mind to draw near to God in prayer, trusting by the power of the Spirit in the merits of Christ. Trust in the blood of Christ. Well, by thanksgiving, by prayer and supplication, our anxious thoughts give way to thoughts of God, and we dwell more distinctly upon what God has done, what He has promised, and we're in the way of experiencing the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. We're to be careful for nothing, but in everything, not just the great matters, the profound spiritual matters that weigh upon us, but small things, deeply personal things, everything. Should be that everything that troubles us, everything that concerns us, should be turned into prayer to God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, this is His promise. To give peace in our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Remember that this is the peace that God gives. It's called the peace of God. And we can think about the peace of God, the peace that God Himself has. That should be our starting point, that there is nothing in the universe that can disturb God's peace. Nothing can hinder God's blessedness. God is the eternal and ever blessed one. Nothing in this world takes God by surprise. Nothing can lessen His peace. And this peace that God promises is the peace of God, to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God is the author of peace. Wherever there is real peace in the world, of course it is because God in His providence has ordained it. And God has promised peace through His Son, and it is His Son, Jesus Christ, who has made peace through the blood of His cross. He is the embodiment of this peace. He is our peace, says the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. We're not to think of peace as a mere relationship, but peace is in Christ. He is our peace. He has made peace. He gives us peace. When we look to Him, we have peace. His precious blood was shed so that sinners could have peace. And he has done what was necessary to provide the basis of peace, and that is he fulfilled the law, he suffered God's wrath, he turned it away, he satisfied divine justice, he reconciled sinners to God. And if we look to him, if we trust in him, we will be reconciled to God and we will have this peace. We will be in a state of peace. And from that status of peace will be the flowing of peace into our souls by the power of the Spirit, giving us comfort so that we are conscious of peace. We have peace in our hearts and minds. The problem is that all the troubles that we think about, all our worries in our minds, the circumstances we pass through, they get hold of our minds. They get a hold of our hearts. And we can't seem to eject them. We can't get rid of them. Well, we need the peace of God to protect our hearts and minds, that God's peace would keep our hearts and minds. And that word keep has the idea of a garrison, a military guard protecting a city. It's like a group of soldiers are standing on guard surrounding an entrance or surrounding a whole city and not letting anything intrude. Well, the peace of God will surround us, protect our minds, protect our hearts, and not let the circumstances get to us. The troubles that we are tempted to dwell upon, it will not encroach upon us and disturb our hearts and minds. We will be kept in peace. Well, that's truly a blessing. Isn't it a promise we should plead at a throne of grace? This peace of God, which passeth all understanding, that this peace of God would keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, why is it passing all understanding? Well, there are at least two ways that we can look at this. It is a peace beyond our comprehension. We are not able to explain it. We're not able to see the end of it. It is something that goes far beyond our ability to really understand. No one can, by searching, find out God. Well, this is the peace of God. God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. A peace that is eternal because it will never end. And because it's from God, it is beyond our ability to understand, to fully grasp. But also, it is a peace beyond understanding. A peace that is not something that rational arguments can give us. Our mere understanding will not provide us peace. Some may say, well, if you just have sufficient reasons to see that you shouldn't be worried, then that will give you peace. No, not necessarily. You can have all the reasons in the world set before you and memorize, and still you're troubled. This is a peace that goes beyond reason and argumentation. It is a peace beyond understanding that passeth all understanding, because it's peace that God gives us to console us, to alleviate the anxiety in our minds and trouble of our hearts, and give us true comfort from the God of all comfort by his Holy Spirit, beyond our expectations, beyond our reason, that passeth all understanding. And it is all through Christ Jesus. The peace of God is through Christ Jesus. It is in him. We must have fellowship with Christ in order to experience this peace. It's not going to be through any other way of thinking, any philosophy. It is not found in any other religion but the true religion, in which the mercy of God comes to us through Christ. The peace that we experience, God's peace, is in communion with Christ. It brings before us again union with Christ. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How precious is this union that not only provides for the forgiveness of our sins, not only transforms us, makes us a new creation, this union with Christ gives us the peace of God. And the more we realize our union with Christ, the more peace we will have. The more we are assured that we are in Christ, the more we will enjoy the peace of God. Because Jesus has purchased this peace by his precious blood, he has secured the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, and he promises us in his word, John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace in fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, and because of his word and his Spirit accompanying his word, we can have the consciousness of peace and the assurance that God is our God, Christ is our Savior. And when you think about the trials and afflictions that we pass through, really what troubles us is our lack of consciousness that God is on our side. If we're assured that God is with us, then these troubles cannot really reach us, no matter what we go through. It's God's peace, and the peace is conveyed by his word and Spirit, and we must go to his word. And we must plead the promises, including this one before us, and the promise that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And if God be for us, who can be against us? What trouble can overwhelm us? What trouble can really harm us if God be for us? And we know that all things work together for good to them who are love God, to them who are the called in his purpose. So we have his promises, called according to his purpose, the peace of God. And the way in which to enjoy the peace that he promises is through what he directs us. It is the prohibition of care. We're not to yield to it. We must resist it, but we resist it primarily by going to God in prayer. This is the prescription. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And he promises, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, what think ye of Christ? Do you desire him tonight? Do you desire the peace which he has purchased by the blood of his cross? There's no other way to enjoy this peace. We need our sins forgiven. We must be reconciled to God. If we remain at a distance from God, if we are still strangers to God, we don't know God, oh, we must go to Jesus. We must go to Christ. He reveals the Father. He shows us the Father, and it sufficeth us, because the Father is in him, and he's in the Father. And he is our peace. If we desire peace, we must go to Jesus. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray.